Poetry Rocks Tool 20, The Breakdance. The purpose of the breakdance is to expand and practice what you've learned about arranging words, lines, and stanzas, and we're going to hone in on the artistry of the poetic line. And in the last tool, I read an excerpt from John Drury's book, Creating Poetry, with the Shakespeare sentence line examples. And I did leave them in here in the written form so you can see them in context. But when I read this, I'm going to leave them out since you've already had a chance to hear those. But I wanted you to know they're in there again so you can look at them. And what John Drury says, and I love this example here, he says, in shaping a poem, the poet acts as designer, sculptor, composer, weaver, architect. The poet's two basic tools, or are they materials, forces, are the line and the sentence. Like the composer, the poet can use them contrapuntally, perhaps syncopating one against the other. And this is me inserting here that that's really what enjambment is syncopating line against sentence. And I think that's one of the reasons I like using it so much, because of that syncopated beat that you get. And back to John Drury, as the poet writes and revises, sometimes starting with a pattern in mind, a regular beat, a tradition, sometimes experimenting, venturing in the dark, the poem's form takes shape. Not all poetry is written in lines, but most is. The line calls attention to itself and requires a pause, however slight, before going on to the next one. As in a song, each line sounds out as a unit, even though sentences may go on for several lines. The eye takes in lines differently from the way it takes in a paragraph of prose. One of the joys of writing poems is playing off sentences against lines, a resource the prose writer sorely lacks. And then he has these examples from Shakespeare's Tempest, where he talks about the different ways that you can arrange sentences and lines, where a sentence can be a line, or a sentence can be a part of a line, or a sentence can be more than a line. And then I'll move on to his final paragraph here that I'm sharing. Think of the lines as a kind of framework on which you lay different lengths of colorful material. Sometimes you'll need short little scraps, a patchwork of quick utterances. Sometimes you'll need to wind a long sentence over the course of many lines, perhaps an entire poem consisting of a single sentence. In general, the longer the sentences, the more a poem flows. Short sentences have a choppy, bouncy, nervous, intense feel. In general, long sentences lull, short sentences rouse. It depends on whether you want the sweep of violins or the percussion of kettle drums. Of course, the poet, like a shrewd composer, will usually want to vary sentence lengths for emphasis, variety, a sense of melody, and surprise. So that's John Drury. And I'll go on to say that one important consideration to keep in mind as you break your lines is that the last word of each line is a really important one. It gets the most emphasis, and it's also a swivel between your lines. And on that swivel, you can hang multiple meanings, like I did in the pickle jar poem, as I explained. And you can also create suspense or anticipation. Somewhere in my study of poetry, and I wish I could remember where to give them credit, I came across the expression, the integrity of the line. And the practice I took from this idea of the integrity of the line was to consider whether each line of each of my poems was pleasing as a standalone unit, whether it was a single word or many words, a complete sentence or a disjointed fragment. The pleasure of any particular line can come from its sound, via repetition of sounds or words, etc., from its meaning or meanings, from an element of surprise, from its visual appeal, or any other aspect that occurs to me as I play with my lines. this is a foreground, background kind of thing, if you think about it. So you can consider the lines themselves, and you can also consider the breaks between them. So as I'm working with my line breaks, I look at both of them, and I encourage you to do that as well. And your job now, then, is to write a poem in which you focus on your line breaks as instruments of meaning, rhythm, and style, keeping all of these things in mind as you go. And if you'd prefer, rather than writing a new poem, go ahead and pick a poem that you have already written and rearrange those line breaks and see how that goes for you. When you're talking about line breaks, sometimes, as I said earlier, playing with something that you've already done one way and seeing what happens when you rearrange those lines can be really, really an interesting exercise. So either way will work great. And here's an example from my work. I really love to work with line breaks. This is one of the reasons I love being a poet so much, is because of that syncopation, as I said earlier, between breaking these. And I have a list here, and I won't read this one out loud, but I do go into some of the reasons why I broke particular lines of this poem in certain places, so you can take a look at the thought that went behind these. If you're interested in seeing this after I read the poem, you may want to go back. And this poem is called "Reading Snow White to My Daughter," and I was inspired when I saw this line from a book by Bruno Bettelheim called "The Uses of Enchantment." I found this sentence in there. The typical fairy tale splitting of the mother into a good mother and an evil stepmother serves the child well. And I thought that was quite an evocative sentence about the mother-daughter relationship and its different manifestations. And it was really odd to be thinking, you know, some of the fairy tales that we read our kids have some really dark stuff in them. And Snow White is definitely one of those. So here comes "Reading Snow White to My Daughter." Her eyes widen. She actually gasps at the queen's cruel attempts to do in sweet, innocent Snow White. I use as much expression as I can, given memory's abrupt glimpse of the face in which I dressed the queen when I was 7. It's hard to get through the part about the huntsman sent to the woods for Snow White's heart. The tightened stay laces, the poisoned comb. I comb my daughter's hair each morning, face to face before my mirror, and that narcissistic question, who is fairest of them all? The plot quickens. The queen is dressed in the rags of a farmer's wife, carries a loaded basket, holds out the apple. My tongue stumbles on the words as I wonder what I carry in my own basket. My daughter eyes me sideways. The fruit is choking me. I keep on reading, feeding her what she will need. And now for your reflection. Solidify your understanding of line breaks. Take a moment to write down in your own words what you've learned about the hows, whys, and whens. And to hone your craft, note whether poems you enjoy tend to utilize end-stop lines and jammed lines or a combination. Try to enter the thought process of the poet as he made these choices. And as you write your own poems, keep experimenting with line breaks.